All right, good afternoon here. You are listening to WHUS Stores. My name is Nashawn Livingston, and I'm here with Richard Kent, an NIL professor for name, image, and likeness, as well as a college sports writer. Is there anything you would like to the audience to know about you, Richard? Anything else?
Well, you can say NIL professor at Fairfield University and Rutgers Law School.
Okay, then. That is honestly, that is very interesting. Like I said before, that's something that I am very intrigued by. I am very into the idea of revenue sharing and just everything that's happened with the House settlement. As we both know, it was recently passed that it is now legal for colleges to directly pay their student athletes, and I believe that takes effect July 1st. Correct?
Yeah. So revenue share, which Judge Wilkin just approved, takes effect on July 1, but there are deals outside of rev share, NIL deals right now, that are being subject to the Deloitte Clearinghouse. So people right now, 3 weeks or 2 weeks before the effective date, are actually running their deals by Deloitte outside of rev share. So one component of the settlement is actually being activated, Nashawn, right now.
Okay. Could you go a little bit into detail about what exactly revenue sharing is, just so everyone's on board, the listeners?
Yeah. So revenue share is the first opportunity that universities can directly pay their student athletes. Mm-hmm. And the maximum cap is $20.5 million. Every school, it is my understanding, every school but the Ivies, the eight Ivies, have opted in. So 355 schools have opted in, but not all of them are going to spend the full $20.5 million. And I saw a note from the athletic director at UConn, David Benedict, that UConn is going to be revenue sharing to the tune of $18 million. Mm-hmm. So what is the breakdown of that $18 million is a good question. Because at a lot of schools, and I will tell you with certainty at the Big Ten schools,
yes,
and there's 18 Big Ten schools, mm-hmm. So it's really the Big 18 and not the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The money is going to go 70% to football, mm-hmm. 20-22% to men's basketball, 5% to women's basketball, and the rest to the other Olympic sports.
Okay.
At UConn, even though I don't know this factually, I have heard rumblings, though. I can't imagine that that's going to be the breakdown at UConn.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I've got to believe that UConn men's basketball is going to be number one in terms of percentages, mm-hmm. of rev share, followed, I don't know if I can say, by women's basketball over football or football over women's basketball, but I would say, or I would guess, or hypothesize that football and women's basketball will be substantially similar and less than men's basketball.
That makes sense. For UConn, unlike other public FBS schools, it makes more money off of men's basketball than it does off of football, if I'm correct. At the very least, it spends definitely more on men's basketball.
Correct.
Yeah, which is, like I said, it's very unique among public FBS schools, because I do know UConn is the only one to do that. Even schools like Kentucky from the SEC, who's known for its basketball program, it's the winningest basketball program in the country, in the entire NCAA, and they spend most of their money on football, just like other SEC schools.
Yeah, so I'm going to come up with one other school that I think may be an exception, and that's Duke.
That makes sense. Yeah. But Duke is private, though, so that I could see where they kind of deviate from that.
Correct.
As far as you said the percentages, can you have a general idea of what the percentages would be? You said men's basketball will get the lion's share, but Are we thinking like 70%, 60%, or?
I have no idea, but no, I don't. If the number is 18 million, I've been told by some people close to the program, not in the program, close to the program, that men's basketball is going to have between 7 and 7.5 million. So, you know, if it's 7 million, that's what, 38 to 40%, I would say.
Yeah.
Which is still double what a Michigan, Ohio State would have for men's basketball.
That's true. So with that, you'd say like men's and like football and women's basketball would be similar. So would you expect that to be like 5 million each and then like the remaining millions for other sports or?
No, listen, you've got a big time soccer program. You've got a big time baseball program at UConn. So I'm going to say that the Olympic sports at UConn are going to end up with more than $1 million.
So like, how about we compare this? Like, of course you just noted what you believe will be, what UConn is likely to do. Do you agree with like, this like setup? What would you personally do?
If I were home.
If you were, for example, Dave Benedict, if you were the athletic director and you were trying to decide on like how they should be like allocated.
I think the hypothesis that I just gave you is substantially similar to what I would do. I would have men's basketball number one and women's basketball and football roughly comparable.
Okay. Yeah, because personally I've been thinking about it and I was personally thinking that I'd put like, of course, men's basketball is number one. And I just thought that I know UConn is trying to join a power conference because like they get a lot more from media money and just like media revenue. So I was thinking the power conferences would probably want us to see a higher investment in football than we have been. I'm just not sure how that really fits in compared to our emphasis on women's basketball, our emphasis on the other sports. Like you said, we have like a very good baseball program, especially for Big East standards. It's usually a one bid league. And I just don't know how they're going to balance all of that. And if it's possible without like a sacrifice somewhere like in football.
Especially. Yeah. I mean, I got to correct something you said though. I mean, UConn football is not Big East standards. The only other school is Villanova, and they dropped down to the Patriot League. So you've really got to compare UConn from a qualitative standpoint with, I'm going to throw out Army, Navy, you know, maybe Army, Navy, Boston College, UMass, Northwestern. I mean, I think those are the schools that are better reference points for UConn in football. I mean, no, who else can you compare UConn to in the Big East?
Well, I guess no one really, because I know Georgetown also is also in the Patriot League, but I think those are the only two that have scholarship footballs. I believe Butler is Pioneer, so they don't have scholarships for football.
Yeah, I mean, if UConn isn't beating Villanova and Georgetown by scores of like 40 to 10, then something's wrong.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true. Yeah, but
anyway. I mean, we've seen UConn play Boston College recently, and we've seen very competitive games. So you really want to look at the bottom of the ACC, the bottom of the Big Ten.
Okay. Yeah, I know we faced off against Maryland last year, and that did not go well.
Yeah, but I think that's an anomaly. I think that was like a 55-7 game or something.
Yeah.
But that was the first game of the year, and that's the only stinker that UConn really threw up there.
Yeah, that's true. I did think it was an anomaly a bit because, you know, they performed way better in their next few games, and for the rest of the season they did fine. Did very well.
Yeah, when UConn played Duke, Duke was really good, and I think that was a one-score game.
Yeah, I remember watching that game. So I have a question, regarding UConn, just in general. Where do you think UConn? Do you think UConn will benefit from this era of revenue sharing? A lot of people have propositioned that Big East schools like UConn, like St. John's, even because they will allocate a larger portion of the budget to men's basketball, they'll be at a financial advantage compared to other power conference schools, like ones from the SEC and Big Ten. Do you, I know Dave Benedict has stated that he does not believe that to be a case, the case. Do you believe that as well?
I do believe it's the case, and I know factually that the Big Ten and the SEC commissioners have gotten together to discuss the issue of why the Big East is going to have so much more money at the top than schools in the SEC and the Big Ten. So yes, I certainly think, and I think you listed two of the schools. I also have to throw in Marquette, and I have to throw in Creighton. And yeah, I think it's realistic to throw in Georgetown because Georgetown has a lot of money.
That's true. Yeah, it's just I know a lot.
Obviously, Villanova.
So yeah, that's a good number of schools, honestly. That's about half the conference, over half the conference. Yeah, of course. Unfortunately, there are some schools like Seton Hall that just I'm not sure if they would be able to benefit because they don't have that much money, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, Seton Hall is in a world of hurt right now.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people are just like very insecure and very worried about UConn's placement in the future, especially with revenue sharing, as like the idea is that other conferences will have more money than we do. Do you think that we will be in a fine position? Let's say it's the next couple of years, even if we don't get like an invite to our conference, we're still independent for football and Big East for other sports. How would you map that out?
Yeah, I think generally, but the long-term goal has to be to get into another conference. The ACC and the Big 12 have chosen in the past to not take UConn. I really think that the natural fit is the ACC, and playing against the likes of Boston College and Syracuse, who were traditional rivals, really makes sense. So I think if we had a crystal ball and it was 2030, I think you're going to see UConn in the ACC.
Interesting. I know that Florida State and Clemson are really looking to leave, and that could provide an opening for UConn to be added, maybe alongside another conference member, another different member for the sake of getting to an even number of teams.
Yes, for sure.
So I know that you also work with Rutgers, and I know, of course, a UConn station probably shouldn't be talking about others like into depth about other schools, but Rutgers is a member of the Big Ten, of course, and they may not be Michigan or Ohio State, but it seems as though they have a lot of potential, and they're starting to wake up like on that, or at the very least exercising that more so than they have been in the past. My question is, how do you think revenue sharing will affect a school like Rutgers, which isn't Michigan or Ohio State, but also is a Big Ten member and has a lot of would likely have more money to spend than your average school?
Yeah, but you got to compare Rutgers with having more money to spend with other teams in the Big Ten that aren't Michigan and Ohio State. So you have to compare Rutgers to Purdue and Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Northwestern. So Rutgers is not going to have more money to spend than those schools are. So it's really not going to make a huge difference. Listen, Rutgers basketball took a significant hit last year by having two top three NBA draft picks in Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper and not getting to the tournament and having a losing record. We know that. Rutgers football has been solid under Greg Schiano 2.0. They're always a 7-6 type school. I think they're striving to be more of an 8-5 type school, which is certainly doable. If you look at recruiting rankings, I believe Rutgers football is in the top 30 this year. And, even though they once had a tremendous rivalry, UConn and Rutgers between 05 and 12, I can't imagine And I always check where kids also are being recruited. I don't think there's hardly any kids that would even consider UConn over Rutgers for football. Now, basketball, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you know, it would have been, I've said this before, but I know UConn's position, like, financially would be so, like, it would be really nice if we were in the Big Ten, but alas, it just, it's never come to fruition. I honestly hope the best for UConn, of course. I feel like, I'm not sure between a Big 12 and an ACC invite. I feel like the Big 12 has more to gain by adding UConn, which is why I probably lean towards them as the landing spot, whereas with the ACC, I feel like it's more like they'll only look at us if they really, really need to, whereas I know Brett Yormark from the Big 12 was very interested in UConn. The presidents were, from what I heard, the main issue with it, and ESPN was even willing to foot the bill for us to move over there.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, but I'm still going to stick to what I said. No. I think the more natural – listen, if UConn was in the ACC, you'd be playing two, if not three, games a year against Duke. And, you know, that's a game that even Jay Billis says should be happening every year. So I just – it just seems more natural to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'd prefer it as well, I'll say that. Just the – you have former rivals over there. It's way more regional. And, of course, the great matchups against Duke and Carolina in basketball would be very thrilling and enticing.
Yeah, but you can't rule out those great rivalries that UConn had with Syracuse, which have tremendous history.
So my question is, like, my next question is, what would you say UConn should do in these next couple of years when it comes to revenue sharing? Should they just continue what they what they plan on doing, or should there be like a change in philosophy? Is there anything that you, if you could, would you be able to recommend?
Well, UConn needs to win in football, and they won in football last year, but you can't go backwards and go 3-8 this year.
Yeah.
You know, you got to win. If UConn football and Jim Mora opened some people's eyes last year, and that's got to be the case again this year. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, basketball, I think Danny Hurley's a lifer at UConn right now. Obviously pulled out of the Lakers situation and made it clear that he wasn't interested in the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Women's basketball, personally, I think they're the prohibitive favorite to win the national championship this year. And one question you need to ask is, you know, how long is Gino going to be there? And what does UConn women's basketball look like post-Gino?
Okay. Yeah. I think, I feel like if UConn's football program can really take off from this season and capitalize off its off of its momentum, I think UConn has the potential to be, at the very least, a very solid G5 school, Group of Five school, even if it's not like we're not consistent. Well, I won't say that. But if we could, my goal would be, I know this may not be the most likely, but 10-2 with a Power Five scalp would be really nice, like one of BC, Duke, or Syracuse. I know those are hard, but I feel like if we make the extra step, we kind of have to go to that level.
Yeah, so Syracuse is really good this year. That I'll tell you. And Duke paid $8 million for the Tulane quarterback over 2 years. Yeah. BC is a team that UConn can beat.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They have the right level of they're not too like talented and way out of our league, although it is on the road. I will say that. It's not too far, though.
Right.
Yeah. But anyways... is there anything else you would like to say about revenue sharing and what the future has in store? Do you agree with the settlement? Like, of course, an extra part of revenue sharing is that the schools have to pay back like a lot of their athletes from previous years. And how do you feel about that?
Well, when you say the schools have to pay back, that money is going into a pool, with 60% of it coming from the non-Power Three and the rest coming from the Power Three. Yes, I do think that student athletes, or, you know, let's let's be real, athlete students, I think you have to say, from 2016 to 2024, do deserve a piece of the pie. The number's not going to be huge except for the really, really, really high profile athletes.
Yeah, like another like part of my question was like, do you think that it will create more parity, like revenue sharing will create more parity in football and basketball? Or do you think that it will only attribute to like what could be like an increasing discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots? I just had to get my thought together.
Well, if revenue share and its synergy with NIL in the clearinghouse really works, then you're not going to see these boosters at SEC schools paying ridiculous sums of money to football players and basketball players. So, you know, with that understanding, I think there will be more parity. But my, you know, but my comment is this: there were years, well before your time, in which we had the brown paper bag. I don't know if you, do you know what I mean when I say the brown paper bag?
No, can you please explain?
Sure. So there were schools in the 50s, 60s, and 70s that were paying their athletes, but they were paying them under the table in paper bags full of cash.
Oh, okay, got you.
So the question is, do we go back there? Is that going to happen? And I don't want to pick on the SEC, but I'll pick on the SEC.
All right.
I mean, I think that might have been a place where this was happening. And so my question is, will this happen again at those schools? Or will we have a situation which the House case settlement envisioned, which is the following: 20.5 million rev share in all true, real NIL deals over $600 scrutinized for purposes of fair market value.
Wow.
So the big conundrum there is defining fair market value. I mean, what does it mean? Is, you know, is a question that we all have right now. You know what? Let me try to pick out a UConn one. Obviously, AZ Fudd, Sarah Strong. They're two of the most, certainly two of the top 10 players in the country.
Yes.
If they go to a car dealership in Rocky Hill or Glastonbury or Manchester on a Saturday to sign autographs and stuff like that, is it reasonable to say, yes, that is fair market value for them to receive $100,000 for those 3 hours? I don't know what the answer is to that, but I would certainly argue with players of that caliber, it probably is.
That's, I mean, I never thought of it that way, honestly. Yeah, I mean, like, I do know, like, their valuation is, like, incredibly high. And I know, like, especially with sponsorships, they must make a lot of money. I don't know exactly the number that they make, but I remember that Paige Bueckers definitely, like, even if Paige Bueckers is back, she would make, she would definitely make, like, a couple million total, like, even without.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a number of numbers for her. 1.8 million is a number that I kept hearing. So certainly it was in the $2 million range.
So were you going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. On the men's and women's side, I can't say on the football side, but on the men's and women's side, UConn has some of the highest profile athletes, not only in Connecticut, not only in New England, but in the whole country.
Yeah, I know, like, of course, like, for to, I know right in the nowadays, it costs a lot for player retention. So I did hear the theories that schools, there were certain schools that were trying to lure away some of our men's basketball players, like Terrace Reed and I believe solo ball from like if I'm correct, and I know that a lot of the money that's raised for UConn sports, it's a lot of times it's just to keep players, just so they won't go somewhere else.
No, for sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And thank you for listening, everyone. Once again, Nishan Livingston here with Richard Kent. You can follow him on Twitter if you want some more insider info for college sports, especially regarding UConn. Very great source. That's how I learned a lot of information regarding UConn scheduling and just like where we stand in terms of the college sports world from a finance perspective. But thank you so much for agreeing to this, Richard.
Thank you for having me, Deshaun. I appreciate it.
Of course. Is there anything you'd like to say before we close out?
Yes, I'm going to say that the UConn women have a 70% chance of winning the national championship, and the UConn men have a 30% chance of winning the national championship. So those odds, 70 and 30, are higher for both men and women than any team in the country.
Yes, they are. I'm not going to lie. 70 plus 30 equals 100. That's some bad math right there. But at the same time, I'll take those odds.
Yes, sir. We shall see.
All right, then. Thank you so much, Richard. And have a good rest of your day.
You too.